We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101 is now in session.
Hello and welcome to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, episode number 289. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local.
Hey, hey.
Lots of news going on these days.
There's a bunch of stuff happening.
All over the map.
Oh, you're talking about SEO. I was thinking U.S. politics. Never mind.
No. Not touching that with a 10-foot pole. No, thank you. Well, I am going to the States. I'm going to Hawaii for a couple weeks,
Nice.
We're all like, I guess we shouldn't post anything negative on our Facebook.
Because no, you know, Hawaii's
freedom
good.
Of speech is you're so good. Strong there.
You're good in Hawaii. They've blocked the travel ban indefinitely, so you're good if you go there.
No, I'm not. It's not the travel ban. it's the customs agents. A little zealous these days. Anyway, we'll see. I'm the only Canadian amongst the group, my little group here, because the rest of my kids and my wife are American. So, yeah,
nice.
They'll be looking at me, going, "What the hell are you doing with them?"
or vice versa, looking at them, going, "What are you doing with him?"
Yeah, very true. Very true. Anyway, I guess we should start going here. First is an article called "The Death of Organic Search." Yes, as soon as I heard "death," I thought, "Oh no, no, not but another death of SEO." But it's not.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't that bad.
No, I think Dave knows better. So it was Dave Davies that did it.
Overall, Webcology. If you listen to him and Jim's show, he's pretty smart. He knows what he's talking about.
He knows what he's talking about. That's right. Okay, so. Well, I did read through it, but why don't you start? You've made the points here, so.
Well, yeah, I just kind of walked through the sections of his article where he talks about how organic search is changing, and it's when he says the death of organic search, he puts in parentheses as we know it. So he's not saying it's going away by any means, but it's changing, right? And a few of the things he talks about in depth, and we don't have enough time to go through the entire article in depth, but he talks about how machine learning is having a big impact on organic search. And I'm still a little fuzzy on how this changes what we do as far as machine learning goes. What are your thoughts? I don't think machine learning changes what we do as much as it changes how people get to the information or how Google decides what information to show, right?
Well, it's like a long joke. You know, you start with all the points and then you finally hit the punchline. In this case, that's just a component. You know, one of the quotes here, I'm not sure who it's from. Says between machine learning, the limited space available for organic search, and the growth of both voice search and personal assistants, is it on a death spiral? So he's essentially saying that the machine learning has allowed Google to understand better what we're saying, and they're minimizing space within organic search, which is true for non-paid content, and the potential to even rank in those. And the growth of voice search through Google Assistant, we're just talking Google here. Obviously, there's other ones that are even better, perhaps. You know, that it's now getting to the point where what SEO is changing fundamentally to the point where we're going to have to, I don't agree with this component necessarily, although I agree that this is possible in a very unlikely world, but that we'll completely rely upon voice assistants for search. I just don't see that happening. Of course, I've been wrong before, but I just don't see that. You'd have to trust Google infinitely, and I don't think I'll ever will.
Yeah, but I don't think he's talking about just for search. I think what he's referencing here, or the bigger picture here, is that voice as an interface at some point in our future, maybe not while you and I are still alive, but when our kids grow up, voice will be the primary interface between humans and technology as opposed to keyboards.
Oh, I totally agree that. Even that, I think that's within 10 years, or one of the main ones anyway.
I don't think it'll surpass keyboards in 10 years.
I do, because a lot of people don't even have one. They use their phone for everything.
But they type into their phone now. I don't know hardly anybody who talks into their phone search wise.
Well, you know, he was citing some stats. Whether or not those were, widely accurate, I don't know. But he said younger generations are doing it quite often, and in public even.
I have one friend that does it incessantly, and he's as annoying as anybody can be when he does it. So it's like it's like everybody tells him to shut the hell up.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan, like I say, but I think at home for sure. One of the examples I was shaking my head a few times here, but and you know that tends to happen because you know there's a lot to understand here. But the one thing he did give, which I really liked, should I walk through that? I don't know. There's an example here of an interaction between a searcher and Google Home.
Yeah, I go ahead and walk through it. And now, before you do, I'd love to see this happen, but I don't think anybody of our generation will ever get comfortable enough, like you said, to have those kind of conversations with their computers. It's short enough. I think you could walk through it pretty quickly.
It's not that short. I think I'll just paraphrase it. The idea is someone's shopping for shoes. They ask Google Home, would you like to shop for men's or women's? And then they work their way down through questions. Okay, Google, show me the black ones. Google filters it. He's showing them on a TV, by the way. So one of the questions from Google Home was, where would you like to see them? He says, cast them to my TV. So he's watching it from there. He's making the decisions. He says, this is for a wedding. Google, oh, so would you like to add that to your calendar? Yes, I'll add it to my calendar. I like the black pair on the top right. Where is it available cheapest? And then Google provides that info, and then you can buy.
So, yeah, and he says, order that for me. And Google says, order confirmed.
Yeah. And there are instances I know of people using Amazon's Alexa to do that. Not something that personal, though. Usually it's like toilet paper, you know, something that's, you know, just make sure it's extra soft. You
know? Ross, I don't know how it is in Canada, but toilet paper is pretty personal here in the States. Just saying.
It's got to be soft. It's got to be ordered. That's it. You know, things like that. I listen to a few podcasts that talk about this stuff all the time. I love the Internet of Things. I think it's fascinating. I mean, talking about changing our landscape, but search, it's going to have some serious growing pains. But obviously, Dave's right. Anyone could say that search is changing. In this case, is it going to vastly change and it can be unrecognizable? Of course. When though?
Well, you know what's that? You know who's going to be a huge player in the personal assistant market here within the next year? Samsung, right? Because Samsung just released they're starting to do advertising for their new phone, and one of the things they talk about, they've got a new personal assistant built in. I can't remember its name, but it's a guy's name for the first time. It's a guy, and I can't remember the name, but if that takes off and people start using it, Samsung's is a huge maker of like televisions and other appliances that are in every home. If they start integrating this personal assistant into other technology that they are a leader in, that one will quickly eclipse both Amazon and Google.
If they can do it right off the bat.
If it works, yeah, if it works well.
But, you know, the one thing that Google has that none of them have, frankly, even close to, is the brilliance in machine learning. And their voice recognition and stuff is amazing. So Google is poised to be the people, to be the ones that win, but they screw stuff up all the time. So who knows?
Yes, they do. It'll be interesting. It'll definitely be interesting.
Yes.
And if you think about it, Samsung's runs on Android, right? Because the Samsung phones are on Android, so that there's an interesting tie there. Because they could if Google sees themselves falling behind and Samsung taking the lead, there could easily be a deal made there to combine the two.
Yeah, or no, I guess Google can't do any flexing of muscles because that would be what do you call it? Google, Microsoft knows as well. What's it called? Get taken to court for this stuff. Anyway, thanks for help.
I was just seeing how long you would flounder.
Antitrust, that's it.
There you go.
But anyways, it's a perfect segue, though. I guess, first of all, let's finish off this. So he's saying that, you know, he doesn't believe that, you know, he has an answer where it's going to go ultimately. But and thank God, that would be a bit of a misstep. But he does say that he feels that Google will always want to have answers to questions, so providing content that answers, I'm quoting him here, providing a content that answers questions or provides tips and information will get you found.
I think the whole thing for me at this article, the big takeaway from it is that this is changing and it's going to continue to change. And what we do is going to have to adapt and adjust to the changes in the market. And if you're still an SEO that is focusing and really talking a lot about how H1 tags work, you are so far behind the curve. It's like, you know, you're learning how to run bases in the minor leagues when you should be playing pro ball, right?
Yeah.
You got to stay on top of this stuff.
Anyway, it's, I think it will do a good job of shrinking the field of SEO. Down to the people who really know what they're doing, though, because it'll be pretty obvious when they don't.
Yeah, well, it's already pretty obvious when people don't know what they're doing, and then we have to clean up after them. Yeah.
One thing I found interesting here was a discussion. I had missed this. It was based on some information from Matt Southern over at Search Engine Journal, and it was about how search. It seems like when Google is providing search results now, more often than not, they're providing information about the product through a third party, not the place where you can buy it. So that hopefully you come back to Google and then click on a paid link that goes to the place where you can buy it. And I find that fascinating. And it would be the kind of subtle brilliance that Google would be doing. I mean, it makes sense.
Right.
That would hit the bottom line well.
I've been telling people for at least a year now that if you're focusing on your product pages for your organic search, you're in trouble. You need to get away from that strategy and move on to real content around why your products and services are good and how to use them, not just hoping someone searches for your product and buys it.
It's very true. Yeah, and that's why we have authority building plans. You know, you have to build that authority through fantastic, earth-shaking content, the kind of stuff that people will not have any choice but to share if they're interested. Or at least like. All right. Well, it was a good article. Certainly worth a read. Kudos
good
to
job, Dave.
Good
job, Dave.
Really enjoyed it. His writing has improved dramatically over the years, which is great. I remember when we started working together ages ago, we both had a lot to learn about writing. It's nice to see how people progress.
I'm still learning that spelling piece.
We know.
I know. The people that know me know that I'm not exaggerating there.
So, you know, ranting here is a nice thing to sort of segue into this next bit, because I was a little. Yeah. Anyway, Google doesn't do things right necessarily. Well, this is a perfect example of frustration to a level that I haven't experienced in a while. OK, so a client of mine, Hotel Zed. a great business in Victoria. They have a couple hotels, very unique hotels. They're very well known in British Columbia because they're so unique. They're very retro. Anyway, they have obviously a knowledge card for their local listing, their Google My Business listing in search. So if you typed in Hotel Z Victoria, you would see their knowledge card. And in their knowledge card, you would see a couple images that represent their brand. Well, even now, if I go and click on them, I notice that most are some of them anyway. Certainly the first one, it seems each time, are from a Russian site that Google for some reason believes is an excellent third-party site to drag from. Well, this little tiny box of a house called The Cottage was showing up as their hotel. You know, page one, Hotel Z, getting tons of visits. You know, it's getting a lot of views. Not exactly what you want to go and spend time at. Retro, indeed. But not exactly want to stay any time at. So I contacted Google and I said, you know, this has to be changed. I can't seem to remove it. We've tried to, we've said to Google, this is not appropriate. This is not the right image. Nothing's happened. Okay, sir, we'll get back to you. You know, they're very, very polite. We'll get back to you tomorrow. And I'll let you know after I talk to the program or the, I guess I said programmers, no, or developers, you know, and we'll try and work this out for you. I get to him the next day. The damn picture is still there. And he says, I'm sorry, sir. We've done what we can. We can't change that. You're going to have to contact the third party site and have them remove it. Like, what? This is Google. He's no, sorry, we just can't control it. You're Google, aren't you? You control what is shown. This company. I mean, and even in the picture, you see the multicolored wall of the real hotel next to it. It is so clear that this is not the right picture. You can go to their site and see as well.
So can I play devil's advocate?
Brother, sure.
So you know how when we're doing SEO for a client that's on one of those big build-your-own websites and five-minute hosting companies, right? What are some of those? What's the one that's
Wix.
Wix had the SEO contest, right? And you notice a major issue with their site, and you say, okay, contact your hosting company, have them change this. And they'll go in and say, well, we can't change it because if we change this for you, it'll impact everybody else. In your situation, they found an image algorithmically, you know, to your point, there should be a way for them to go in and look at each individual image and say, no, not this one. But if they don't have that, they would have to change the algorithm to get rid of that image instead of, if they don't have it built in to pull from this one source to be able to edit images, that's a problem. But if they don't, they can't fix it.
Yeah, well, and that's typical Google. They always run at things 100 miles an hour without implementing everything. And they do it on the fly, and it causes nightmares for many businesses. Not that I have any experience with that.
So I was looking at these pictures. This hotel definitely looks like a hippie hotel, place you'd go if you're like, it actually looks pretty cool. But if their hotel vehicle is an old VW bus painted up to look, it's pretty cool.
It is. It's a really fun place. I went there with the kids, and they've got like a indoor slide, and they've got rotary phones and typewriters. They're not actual typewriters, but they look like it. I mean, it's so cool. It's fun. But yeah. Anyways, this cottage, it couldn't be removed. I was just losing my mind. I go, well, what? Okay, fine. Who do I contact? Oh, oyster.ru. Sure, they're gonna listen to me.
Yeah, it's still in there. I see it. Or a different one.
Yeah, it's a different one now. It's from another company that's also in Russia. I have no idea why they're all Russian. There's so many images for this hotel in Canada that they're not using.
I thought we were talking about American politics this time.
Fair enough. Excellent, excellent. Yes, so it did finally get fixed and not, I don't know. I have no idea. Was it because we cited them as bad images, perhaps? But if that meant that it had to go through a team who could then change it, his argument made no sense.
Yeah.
It doesn't. None of it made sense. And it was so clear it was wrong. It was hurting the company. I'm sure it couldn't have been good for business. I should say that's an old picture of the cottage. The next day when I went, they had a new picture of the cottage where apparently it had been renovated. Oh, it looks beautiful. Wow, what a nice hotel. Like, it's like, okay, you fixed it, kind of. You've got a more updated photo of the wrong house.
So we know Google makes mistakes. It's nothing new.
Oh, yeah, except when it really impacts a business, that drives me up the wall. And, you know, this is so basic. At any rate, third, I'm done. And I think I need a breather. So let's take a quick break. We get back, we'll jump into some more news.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess. Cranberry Radio is your new destination for education, entertainment, and engagement. Get educated and entertained by our panel of on-air experts and peers, and engage with us anytime by following us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and LinkedIn, so you can reach us before and after every program. Located on our new social shareable live streaming player. Access the new Cranberry Radio live stream player at our website, cranberry.fm.
Looking for a white label SEO and social platform for your clients? Think
eBrands.
Free and unlimited SEO audit reports.
eBrands.
Premium Facebook apps and welcome page creators.
eBrands.
Twitter management app, analytics, and mobile site generators.
eBrands.
Let eBrands manage your search and social media campaigns and give you and your clients access to their white label dashboard, which have great reports that will wow your clients and deliver great ROI and results. Try eBrands for 30 days. Go to eBrandsWithAZ.com or call 1-866-625-5717. That's eBrands with a Z for
eBrands.
Is your website hacked? Is your website displaying error messages or loading slowly? Even if there are no signs of malicious activity, your site may still be compromised. Websites, like cars, require regular maintenance to perform at their best and not leave you stranded. At Fjorge, our website maintenance experts can help you assess which one of our maintenance plans will best support your needs. Visit FjordGedigital.com or call 612-877-3840 and get the support and protection your website and business deserve. That's FjordGedigital.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. And it's for everyone to know, I will post a picture in our Google Plus community forum of what this little cottage that was showing up for Hotel Zed. I mean, it's priceless. You got to see it. And so it will be there. Okay, you posted this, so I'll let you take the next.
Yeah, it's one of these things. Again, we do this occasionally. There's something we've known for a long time that Google finally got around to confirming. They've confirmed it before because it's part of the Google guidelines. It's just nobody ever remembers it as part of the Google guidelines. Google doesn't want the search results from your website in its search results. Right. So and it was very clear. And I think Gary actually made it known that Google can automatically detect something that looks and acts like a search result page, and they will remove it from the index. So and why this is a big issue, because I've seen a number of CMSs over the years that basically do all their pages based on searching a database, and every product page and every listing of product types, if it's an e-commerce, looks like a search result page. And that can be a huge issue for you from a indexation and in Google ranking, organic rankings perspective. So just confirmation from Google once and for all, or again, if you actually have taken the time to read the guidelines, they do not want search results from your site in their search results and are actively trying to remove them. So if you have pages like this on your site, or your clients have pages like this on your site, you can reformat them. You can change them the way they look to get rid of those signals that make them seem like search results. If it has a little thing up on the top of the page that says, your search has found 300 listings out of X number of listings, it's going to be seen as a search result page. Even if you format it and make it look like a listing category page, it's still a problem. So fix that stuff to make sure if you're having problems getting indexed, that could be one of the reasons.
Excellent. Okay. Oh, and this next one's a beauty. So, so the SEM Post, fantastic site. I know we keep saying that, but it's because it is. Jen posted an article. It was essentially just some news, and in her defense, probably just on the fly, but mentioning that 404s, Google had announced that, or replied, I believe this is a Mueller file, that 404s do not affect site quality from Google's perspective. Now, we both agree that's definitely very narrow focused. What I remember the article saying was that if you have a 404 or a few 404 pages on your site, it's not a big deal. Google realizes that happens. It's not something that's going to have a negative effect on your site. However, I'll let you take this.
Yeah,
because I know you want to.
I know, and I think what they were talking about primarily is if someone links to your site and the page doesn't exist for the off-site references. Because he definitely even mentioned specifically that if we counted it as quality, people would just create a bunch of 404 links to sites and use it as negative SEO was what he was trying to imply. But what they didn't cover here is 404 showing up in internal navigation. That's a huge problem, and that goes to the overall URL normalization and site quality, not only from a Google perspective, from a user perspective as well. And that's something you have 100% control of that you can fix. And if they're saying that that's not a signal, that's the same as them saying social is not a signal, because we know it is.
Yeah, which they did just say again.
Yeah, I know, they always say that. I still don't believe them again.
No. Interesting. I went back to an older post, and they were saying that do 404 errors have any impact on Panda 4.2? I guess that was a pretty direct question, so I wouldn't say that. Maybe they were right saying no to that, because we're not talking just Panda, we're talking about overall.
Yeah, 404s were issued before Panda was even a thing, so that could easily be a no, because Panda didn't address that.
Yeah. So 404 error pages do not cause a penalty. This is what Eish said back then.
I agree with that. They're not going to cause a penalty.
Exactly. Yeah. Google ignores links to 404 pages. And aside from some edge cases, regular 404s and soft 404s have links ignored too. So again, he's talking about links. Of course, they don't say whether it's internal or not.
And the other thing they don't talk about is in many cases, and I'm sure you'll agree with this, Ross, a site owner or even a web developer might say, well, this is a 404 page, but the server is configured incorrectly and it's not seen by the engines as a 404. It might be a 302 redirect, which could be more of a soft 404, but still, depending on how that 404 page is handled, I've seen plenty of dynamic custom 404 pages returning a 200 okay. So there's a lot of things to deal with when it comes to 404s, and just flat out saying they don't affect site quality for Google SEO is kind of misleading in my book.
Fair enough. And just so the people who her eyes are glazing over, 404s are pages they get to that are errors. They're no longer there. That's essentially the server error that Google sees. Even your browser sees when you go to a page that's not there. 200s are 200 okay, as John was just saying. That's when everything is right and rosy. You're getting to the page and it's the one you want to see, or at least it's there. It's sort of the one you want to see, but it's there.
There
is something at that URL. Okay, so this is something that, you already added that. All right, I added it lower. But how some chat boxes can be hit by the Google intrusive mobile interstitials penalty. Wow, yes. That's a big word. So,
we talked about,
damn it, I should have got you to say it. We've talked about the interstitials penalty a few times in the past. It's essentially Google saying that, no, we don't want you to block people from seeing your page. They're making them have to do something like click this or click that to get to the content. It's intrusive. It's not good for their user experience. They are going to have a negative impact on any visibility you have for your site. Well, there is a takeaway here, apparently, that chat boxes, and I would say it's fair to say grossly large ones, that pop up on a mobile device or take over a screen can be hit.
And help people understand the chat boxes. Chat boxes in a regular desktop environment, you see that little thing in the bottom corner where the thing pops up and says, hey, is there anything we can help you with on our site, right? Which is pretty common these days, especially in e-commerce sites. But in a mobile environment, that little chat box can block the entire screen. And that's what we're talking about when that happens.
Yeah. And Fair enough. I had to paste this. This is a little conversation John Mew had with someone. Brock Ellison asks, do chat boxes count as mobile interstitial Google penalties? John's answer, if you cover the page, that's pretty obnoxious, right? Use a banner instead. So yeah. I think Google's on pretty good solid ground here. I mean,
I agree. And I think if there's anything that pops up that blocks the page, chat boxes, we've seen ads, we've seen, you know, there's all kinds of things that will pop up on a page. In a mobile device, if it blocks the content, you have potentially going to be in trouble from Google. And this is not just a lower search results. This is an actual penalty.
Fair enough. All right. We've got a couple more pieces of news to come up, but we should take a quick break. So we'll be right back.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
Hi, I'm Montel Williams. Most of you know me as a talk show host, but I'm also an author, actor, single father of four, avid snowboarder, and I'm also a medical marijuana patient. Living with multiple sclerosis, I'm in pain every day. Medical marijuana is my last resort, and it helps me when all other drugs have failed. If you'd like more information about medical marijuana, you can contact the Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org or call 1-877-JOIN-MPP.
Do you look at the task of ranking your site at the top of the search engines like you would climbing the top of Mount Everest? It doesn't have to be. TopSEOs.com knows how hard that climb can be, and they can make top ranking a reality. TopSEOs sends you to only the right search vendors and agencies that they know will work for you. Since 2002, TopSEOs.com has reviewed and researched the best search engine marketing agencies and solutions providers. Don't risk the cost of falling off the proverbial peak of search rankings. Let TopSEOs give you peace of mind. TopSEOs.com, the independent authority on search vendors.
Looking for a better way to get more traffic and interaction to your Facebook page? Imagine Facebook interactivity on your page like you've never seen. Introducing your new Facebook marketing fix, ZoSocial, the new and revolutionary way to easily manage and automate your Facebook contests and sweepstakes. Create a fun, easy-to-win contest by writing a simple Facebook post. Watch your post go more viral and generate loads of interaction. Track your traffic and generate email lists with ease. ZoSocial is mobile-friendly and complies with Facebook terms of service. Let ZoSocial give your Facebook page some flash today. Zoom over to zosocial.com.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on Cranberry.fm, hosted by John Carcutt, the director of SEO and social media for Advanced Local, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. All right, so this I didn't read, so fill me in.
So Barry wrote an article. Someone had pointed out to him that Google has removed the city from local map listings on search results. So like, you know, if you see the pins and it's showing the top three, the local box, the top three, they've taken the city out of that for local results. So the example was plumber. So if I typed, you know, plumber where I'm at now, it'll show me some close to me, but it won't tell me what city they're in. And I did some testing. I said, okay, well, what if I say plumber Cleveland, which is where I'm at right now? It still didn't show me the city, even though I put that in my search result. Then I thought about, okay, where's this a place about 20 minutes away? Akron. I did plumber Akron. Still did not show me the city. Just showed me the name and the address, and not even always the address. Then I did, okay, what about one about an hour away? I did that, and it still did not show me the city. When I got to about 2 hours away from a city from where I'm at, it basically didn't show me the address at all anymore. It just said city and state.
Yeah, so it's I don't see that either.
Yeah.
It's small, but it is interesting.
But I was trying to figure out, well, how could I use this at all to understand, you know, local search and the geospatial relationships between where I am and where my search results are, right? And can I make a definite, is there a place where I can draw a line and say at this far away, they're going to change the way the results are shown. So if they're changing the way the results are shown, are they changing anything else about the algorithm? It's something that we need to look into and test some. But it's always fun to find these things even though they might seem simple from a user perspective, if you take a step back and say, well, how can I use this data to maybe further analyze the intelligence that I'm now getting to better understand how it works? So if you're that kind of thinker and you do that kind of stuff, it'd be interesting to hear what you come up with tied to this, because I'm going to dig into it deeper.
Yeah. I mean, you know, another issue I've been having with one of my clients, and it's fascinating to me. I'm dealing with a client where we've done everything right from a local perspective. He has the most reviews, and I mean 3-4 times the reviews of anyone, and they're extremely well done, beautiful. Like they look beautiful, great. In Yelp, he's number one, and there's even a Yelp page saying top orthodontist in the city, and you click on that, he's number one. You go to any site, he's done a pretty good job of covering the bases and ensuring that he's got reviews in other places. And his site is pretty decently optimized, although we're doing an audit on that. He doesn't have any rankings. They're actually plummeting. And what I wanted to get at here is that it is it's clear that local has quite a connection to whatever's going on your search on your website, because there is nothing wrong with his local profile that I've been able to detect, and I've been doing this long enough that I usually do see it. Now, we did make a find. We found a duplicate site of his, and we're like, "What the hell? What don't we know about this man?"
Duplicate website or duplicate like location, app location for local
website.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. But still, that shows a connection to local that Google's been kind of quiet about. You know, they usually say, well, you don't even need a website, blah, 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 blah. This guy has a stellar reputation everywhere. But this is happening. So
I think it's partially because the pigeon update, was it a couple years ago now? Was really focused on, there were some major changes in the way local worked from an algorithmic standpoint because of that. It didn't get nearly as much coverage as I thought they should have, because local wasn't as big a deal when it happened, right? And one of those major changes was the merging of the partial merging anyway at that time of the local algorithm with the organic algorithm, right? Mm-hmm. There was some very clear discussion and indication that those two algorithms had merged in some significant ways. And I think that's probably what you're seeing here.
Well, I tell you, it's good, because I know, you know, we're going to find the answer and we're going to be able to clean it up. And he's already in such a good position. He's going to soar. But yeah. It's so frustrating when you see stuff like that and then trying to dig it up and then finding out the client didn't tell you about a site. Hello.
Yeah, that's... is it a duplicate site, or is it
it's a duplicate design, different content,
same okay, we're gonna get techie, this is 201 stuff, same class C
probably. I didn't look at that yet.
Yeah, all right.
But you know, in fairness, it's targeting a different market. It's targeting adults only for orthodontists, but I wouldn't have done it that way. Obviously I would have built that into his existing site. However,
yeah,
old school.
Does it have I would be looking at, okay, does it have any problems with its backlink profile that could be bleeding over to the other site?
Yes.
And then, of course, if they're using the same NAP on both sites, there's a big issue with your local side.
Yeah, we've got a lot of work to do to clean this up. But, at least I'm happy to say that he's going to be up to the top. He probably want to be our best examples of a client that's doing well, because I love it when clients listen. He's got the reviews spread out. He's not just doing it on one place. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Nice.
All right. So we're going to get into, do you want to say it?
It's the Gary files.
No, the Jerry.
Oh, yeah. So, see, I shouldn't have said it. You know me. I can't even spell it
the
right.
The Jerry files.
The Jerry files. That's our new couple name for when John and Gary do something together. Jerry.
I love it. So Fred has been confirmed by Google, finally. And yeah. I love this. There's even like, so Fred was a Google updater a while ago, and
it's beginning of March. So it's been a while.
Yeah, it has been. And Fred is just the name Gary just threw out there for it, Gary E-ish. Anyway, from Google, and silly name, but whatever. But I even remember seeing, no, there's no update that we can confirm. And then I see a tweet on this actual article saying, of course there was an update. Why would we hide that? What the hell, Google? This sounds like a particular politician I know.
We weren't going to go there.
I know, or, I know.
Are you talking about your guy or ours?
I'll leave it to everyone's imagination. Okay. obviously, there was an update. Why would we deny that? That's what he says. Yeah.
But then actually, John was asked some more specifics about it, and he didn't come out and exactly say this is what it was, but somebody said, we're seeing a loss of traffic after Fred came out. We're seeing our rankings drop down. You know, is there a reason why this could be happening? And John went on and on and on in about two paragraphs about quality site. Your site should be quality. You take a step back, and if it's, don't just look at minimal quality changes. Look at the big picture quality. And quality. So he said quality about 20,000 times in two paragraphs.
I don't really believe it that that's the issue. Maybe it isn't that particular site, but, you know, that's pretty broad answer.
Yeah.
Do better is essentially what he's saying. I don't think so. I think that I'd be surprised if this wasn't true, that there were many sites that were feeling the pinch and they had decent sites. We've seen that a lot happen for Google. They're usually better. They're getting better, but.
See, and I think it comes down to when the quality is a weird word right now, because, you know, if someone's writing a piece of content about a 401k program, right, there's probably 20,000 articles on the internet about 401k programs. I'd say at least 1,000 of those are really good quality articles, right?
Yeah.
So if you're Google and there's 1,000 good quality articles on the same topic, you know, how, and then somebody writes something that stands out, you know, on that topic that's different, or, you know, that's, I think that's where they're going at, you know, is finding, taking quality and making it beyond just a good quality article, but making something that stands out, you know, above and beyond what everybody else is doing.
Yeah. Very good point. Quality is many dimensional these days. So I think you have to put a lot of thought into it. As I was saying, or authority building plans is something we do a lot of, and ensuring that the content we recommend isn't just going to be like one of those ones that's just, hey, another good article on this. No, it's got to be over the top good if you're going to try and go for one of those. And it's even better if you can cite some of them, get them to show up as, you know, other great articles within your article. I mean, there's no harm in that. You're, as long as you've made your article overwhelmingly better. And that's lost on many people, but it's the case. Well, this has gone a bit long, so I have to say, on behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Local, thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions you would like to share with us, please feel free to post them on our Google Plus community page, easily found by searching SEO 101 on Google. Have a great week, and remember to tune in to future episodes, which air at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, every Monday on cranberry.fm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and their guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of Cranberry News Marketing and Cranberry.fm. Rebroadcasts or retransmission of this content without proper consent is prohibited.